Hey, welcome back to Safe Talk with Safe Start. I'm Tim Page Bodarf. April, it's been designated as Distracted Drivers Awareness Month. And the National Safety Council estimates at least 8 people a day are killed in distracted driving crashes. And recently, my co-host Danny Smith, he did a podcast for the American Society of Safety Professionals on distractions in general. But in light of April being Distracted Driving Awareness Month, or any other month for that matter, I thought it'd be a great time to focus strictly on behind the wheel. Now, as any good reporter would, I'd like to cite a couple of independent sources. So first, there is the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, who actually reports back in 2020, there were 3,142 lives that were lost. Now, don't bother reaching for your phone. I actually checked the math already. It comes to 8.6 lives every single day. Now, there's another 387,000 that were injured, and I want you to keep in mind that this is just here in the United States. Now, you'll recall from your Safe Start training that we actually spoke about 3 types of behaviors. The first type of behavior was a deliberate action. Now, a couple of examples could be like speeding, setting your cruise control to about, roughly 5 to 7 miles per hour over the speed limit. For some of you, that could be 8 to 16 kilometers per hour. The second is habitual. And this could be good or bad, but not checking your blind spot or always checking your blind spot. And then finally, there's unintentional actions, like you missed a stop sign or a traffic signal. Now, I have found that many of us start things as deliberate action, but eventually it becomes habitual. And that's especially true if you take an intentional risk, like talking on a cell phone while driving, and then eventually have 0 consequences. So these deliberate acts reinforces the negative behavior and eventually make everything habitual. Now, it's also interesting to me that we as a society, we tend to think that we fixed a problem once and for all, and because we put a rule or a policy or procedure or law in place. Every state in the U.S. has actually banned texting and driving except for Montana. And that doesn't always work for even the most strict rule followers because, of course, we're all human and we're all subject to distractions of all types. And coming back to the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, they've broken down distracted driving into 3 different categories. The first category could be visual, like seeing things outside the road or rubbernecking. And as we relate that to Safe Start training, that's eyes not on task. There's also manual. For example, like fiddling with the radio or your GPS or even your cell phone, which takes your hands off the wheel. And then finally, there's cognitive. And of course, relating that to Safe Start training, that's mind not on task. And even worse, autopilot. Now, cognitive might be the worst by far. Now, we can't stop our minds from wandering. And I know that I'd have to ask, how many times have you been on a long trip and you couldn't remember the last 3 or 4 miles on that trip? That's why telling people to pay more attention or be more careful or even focus on what you're doing doesn't work. Now, it's critical to kind of develop some good safety-related habits that's centered around driving. Now, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I was on a long trip recently through Kentucky. I had to drive from Nashville to Paducah, which is a 2, almost 3-hour drive. And I knew I was going to be tired. And for me, I used the geographical mile marker game. What does that mean? For every mile that I drive past a mile marker, I try to get a good geographical grab of what's going on in that area. Keeps my mind in the game. But it helps you in terms of developing a habit to help you fight those distractions on the road, or even worse, driving fatigue. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions about how habits are formed, so let's talk about a couple of those myths or even misconceptions. Now, first off, there's this old thing that many have actually probably have heard before. It kind of goes something like this, quote, unquote, if you do something 21 days in a row, it actually becomes a habit. end quote. But that's far from true. Now, so depending on the individual, the actual habits that you're working on, and the frequency that you do that activity, there's lots and lots of variables. And it could take as many as 60 or even more very intentional repetitions to get something that's going to be true habit strength. Now, for those of us that are actually old enough to remember life before seatbelt laws, it took us seemingly endless repetitions to get buckling up to habit strength. Habits will actually help to compensate for those times when you're distracted or otherwise complacent. And for our younger listeners, of course, you've put little effort into building this habit because of societal shifts back in the 80s. You basically grew up knowing that this was a good habit. And a simple habit that may have found helpful for some of us to work on is to move your eyes before you move your body or vehicle. That's worth repeating. Move your eyes before you move your body or vehicle. It's one of the habits I've been working on since the beginning of my exposure to SafeStart. So another common misconception is that when it comes to habit strength, you hear it. Perfect practice makes perfect. Now, I often say that you can practice doing something the wrong way and get really good at doing it again and messing up every single time. Maybe get into the habit of saying practice makes permanence. Neuroscientists, they actually refer to this in terms of habit formation as building preferred neural pathways, and that happens in our subconscious minds. Here's a couple of examples that'll help you with this. I want you to think of times or activities where you're likely to use a very specific habit. For example, if you're working on or not talking on your cell phone while driving, you may want to put a picture of somebody that you love, like a child or even a grandkid, right up by your speedometer. That way you'll see it, get an instant reminder in the car, and it'll give you a reminder to turn the phone off and arrive safely. At the very least, put the phone in the armrest. Now, the second example could be like an old buddy system at work. Those folks, they can actually help keep you accountable. And who knows, maybe you'll inspire a friend or even a family member, or like we said, coworkers, to help you work on the habit with you. You know, other people can see complacency in you better than you, especially loved ones and coworkers. So I know a lot of you that are listening to my voice right now have remembered or seen me or even saw me present information about the top 10 distractions as they lead into safe start states and errors. I usually ask this question at public workshops and conferences. What are the top 10 distractions? I'm going to give them to you, and then I'll cite my source in just a minute. Number 10, something smoking related, lighting up, smoking. And I've heard, even as a joke for people to help them stay awake, they chain smoke. I know, as funny as it sounds, you're going to die one way or another, right? Number 9, moving objects, things inside the car that move, like insects or even pets. Number 8, any device that's integral to you, the operation of your vehicle, turning signals, gear shifters. You know the type. Number 7, adjusting your audio or even your climate controls. Number 6, one of my favorites, eating and drinking. I mean, how many hamburgers or bean burritos have you had going down the highway? And have you actually said, hey, wait till you get on the freeway before you give me my food? Of course, focusing on the food on the freeway is so much easier because you don't have any lights or signals to deal with. Number 5, reaching for your CDs or changing your GPS or, I know your cell phones is typically something cell phone related very specifically, but maybe you want to change the radio station or a music that you're listening to on your phone. Number 4, if you've got passengers in the car, talking to them or even looking at them. Number 3, somebody outside the car, some object, some event, pets, insects, all the stuff outside the vehicle, that's in number 3. So what was some of the first advice we received as a driver? Keep your eyes on the road. I know it's real easy if you could finish this sentence out of mad respect to our good friend Kevin Cobb. See if you can finish this sentence. I know these roads so well I can drive them with my eyes closed. And there was number two. 12% of total fatal distractions comes from using the cell phone. This information comes from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety and Fatality Facts. You should also know that there's one teen death in the U.S. directly related to distracted driving with their cell phones. Now, 31% of drivers ages, say, through 18 to 64, they've actually said or admitted they've read or sent or even texted or delivered an email while driving within the last 30 days. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I believe that most are lying. Maybe that number is a little bit higher. Even worse, 42% of high school students, they've actually admitted that they text or email while driving. And that information comes from Teen Driver's Source. Now, look, we as adults, we might need to do some more work, especially on our quote, do as I say, not as I do. And if you're wondering what number one is, it comes in at a whopping 62%. That's that autopilot we were talking about before, or in their words, lost in thought. As I kind of mentioned before, teens actually tend to keep it 100 or full send. And as they like to say, I have to say that I am going to tell you that they could also be our best messengers with their peers. So encourage them to speak up when they see a friend driving while distracted. Maybe have their friends sign a pledge to never drive distracted or to become involved in a local Students Against Destructive Decisions chapter. And maybe share messages on social media that reminds their friends and family and neighbors not to make that deadly choice to drive distracted. We as parents can start and lead by example by never driving distracted, as well as have maybe a talk with their young drivers about distractions and all of the responsibilities that come with driving. Have everyone in the family sign a personal pledge to the family to commit to driving distraction-free. Now, one last stat that was startling to me is that distracted driving actually spikes at night between 6 and 11 p.m. That statistic comes from the Cambridge Mobile Telematics. Why do you suppose that is? Why do we step it up? Not as many people? We can get comfortable while driving? Perhaps. Finally, this last message here is important. Teach safe start to those you love. I will tell you that the most value my family has gotten out of the course is on the road. We have frequent conversations, quite literally almost every time we see each other, about another driver or some kind of mistake that we made that could have been potentially really bad. And by the way, don't forget, if you're telling these good stories, make sure you finish with how much worse it could have been. Hey, thanks for spending some time with me today. And a big shout out to my partner, Danny Smith, for his work on this one. I hope you'll share this episode, especially with your young drivers. One of the things that have attracted me to Safe Start nearly two decades ago was it goes everywhere you go, especially on the road. So keep working on those safe driving habits. I am Tim Page Botter for Safe Talk with Safe Start. I'll see you down the road.